So Proverbs chapter number 12, we'll start with verse number 1. I'm not going to look at every verse here in this particular chapter, but we're going to look at some key things again. We're in a place where almost every verse teaches us another teaching from the Word of God on how to make it through every day, how to make it through every situation that comes up through the day. And looking at life, that's what the whole book of Proverbs is about. Looking at life from God's perspective, having God's wisdom, looking at how ourselves, looking at others, and looking at our relationship with God from His point of view, which is very different than my point of view and your point of view. So it's important that we have God's view on how to handle even the smallest situations that we run into in life. Verse number 1 of chapter number 12. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of righteousness shall not be moved. So we're going to start with those verses, and let's pray. Father, bless now our study in the book of Proverbs. Help us to apply your truths in a very practical way to our life, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. Let's see, instruction is one of our 10 words, remember? That's one of the 10 words in the book of Proverbs that we see over and over again. And instruction means, this word comes from the Hebrew word chastisement or reproof. None of us like to be reproved, amen? None of us, chastisement, another word for chastisement, when I grew up, was spanking. And none of us like to get a spanking. None of us like to be reproved or punished or corrected, rebuked, or warned. The full definition, though, is this. It means an authoritative direction to be obeyed. So God's given you and I directions, and He's reproving us of areas that we must obey. So he that loveth instruction. So we need to love being instructed. We need to love being guided by God. We need to love the fact that He's correcting us. He's reproving us. Sometimes He's rebuking us. Sometimes He's chastening us. Whatever we need. In other words, He's teaching us like a mama teaches her children. Like a daddy teaches his boy. Like a family member raises their child. Amen. And by the way, unlike what many people are saying right now in society, your children are the responsibility of the parent, not the government, and not the community. It's our responsibility, and we must learn to raise our children well. So that means there's times that we've got to reprove. But that's what instruction's all about. You sit in class. This is what school is like. Tell me if I'm wrong. School is supposed to be like this. You come to class, you sit in your seat, you sit at your desk, you pull out your paper and your pencil, and the teacher says, 1 + 7 = 8. Alright? Now you try this, Johnny, and Johnny comes up here, and she says, okay, Johnny, 1 + 7, and he looks at it, and he, I don't know, maybe doesn't add up in his mind, 1 + 7 = 6, he writes. Oh, and she says, no, that's not it. 1 + 7 = 8. 1 + 7 = 8. Johnny, say it with me. 1 + 7 = 8. So what did she just do? She rebuked him. She chastened him. She instructed him. She corrected him. She wasn't mean about it. You don't have to be mean about it to be reproved. Reproving just means to be instructed in something. Alright, we're sitting in our reading circles. Do they still have reading circles? You're sitting in your reading circles. Boy, when I grew up, they had reading circles. I was in the Blue Jays one year. I was in the Cardinals another year. I think I was in the Checkered Pants group one year. But we had some odd names. But we sat there in our reading circles and we'd take our turns and we'd pronounce the words as we'd read them. So let's pretend that we're in a reading group, and I'm going to read in verse number 1, and that's what I'm supposed to read in my reader. And my reader says, whoso loveth instruction, No, that's not it, Johnny. It's not instruction, it's instruction. So sound it out with me. Instruction. Instruction. It's got three syllables, Johnny, I think. Instruction. It may only have two, I don't know. But it sounds to me like it's got three. Instruction. So instruction, Johnny. And so Johnny says, instruction. Whoso loveth instruction. No, Johnny, that's not instruction. It's instruction. Try it again. What is she doing? She's teaching. She's instructions. She's reproving. She's rebuking. In some way, she's chastening. No, Johnny, that's not how we say it. That's a chastening. That's how God's teaching you and me. And God says we ought to love that. We ought to love that when He says, oh, don't do that. That's going to hurt you. Don't touch that. That's going to hurt you. Don't go over there. That's going to hurt you. Don't think those thoughts over there. That's going to hurt you. Don't behave like that over there. All of my life, as a parent, it seemed like all my life till my child left their home, the home was always, now don't do that. Don't go over there. Don't behave like that. Don't you talk that way. It's always what? Instruction. And that's reproving. And that's instructing. That's guiding. That's helping. That's helping them, warning them, reproving them, restraining them in an authoritative direction. In other words, somebody with authority is saying it. So it's like a mom or a dad. It's not like your brother or sister telling you what to do, because your brothers and sisters aren't supposed to tell you what to do. It's supposed to be your mom or your dad or your teacher or somebody who knows more than you do. It has to be somebody that's more developed than you are. And we have someone who's an authority over us, that's God. And He's much more developed than you and I are. And our job then is to follow the instruction. And not just to follow it, but to love it. When we love it, then we enjoy it. When I first went to school, sometimes I went to a school back in 19... and a long time ago. And I sat in my little seat and I took out a big fat pencil in the first grade, and I didn't go to kindergarten. They had it back then, but not very many people went. And it wasn't required. You just went right into the first grade. And I went into the first grade, and I sat there on my first day. And I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be at home with my mama. And but I was there, and the sniffles had gone away, and we were in class. And she said to pick up our pencils, and we got two blue fat pencils. And that was for our little hands to be able to learn how to hold the pencil well. And we had these big pads, and you'd open up the pad, and there would be a heavy line and a dotted line and another heavy line. And we started to learn to write the alphabet. And I picked up my pen with my pencil with my left hand, and I didn't know what to do well. And I started to write my A with my, and the teacher came up and said, "No, no, no, no. Put your hand, put the pencil in your other hand." I said, "I don't do good with that hand." She said, "No, it doesn't matter. Put it in that other hand. Put it in your right hand." And I tried to write the A with my right hand, and I wasn't very good. So I put it back in my left hand when she wasn't looking. And I started writing my A again, and she came up and she smacked my knuckles with a ruler and said, "No, sir. That's a sign of the devil. You write with your right hand." I went, "What?" I didn't say that. I just went, "Okay," as any first grader would do. And learned how to write with my right hand, but I was really left-handed. But you know what I was doing? I was following instructions because she had authority over me. My brother would have told me done that. I would have pushed my brother down. Or he would have pushed me down, and we probably would have ended up in a tussle. But when somebody with authority tells you to do something, you do it. And so rather than learning to write with my left hand, I learned to write with my right hand. There's been many people I've met from my generation and older who also would have been probably left-handed if the teacher hadn't said, "No, we don't do that that way. You're a right-hander." But that's okay. You know what I did? I got instruction. Now, I may have not always liked instruction, but instruction, now that I'm older, is always, I found, to be a help to me. The older you get, the more you realize, "I wish I would have learned that. And I wish I would have learned this. And I wish I would remember how to do this in school. And I wish I could remember how to do that." And the older you get, the more valuable the instruction you had when you were younger becomes to you. So it's important then. Look, and he that loveth instruction loveth knowledge. Now, knowledge is one of our words, remember? Knowledge is awareness gained through experience. How do I get this experience? I get this experience through instruction. Knowledge is awareness gained through experience. So what am I gaining? Every time I'm instructed, I'm gaining more experience. I went to a class not too long ago for something I was working on. And I had to learn how to do something. And I always thought I knew how to do it. And the instructor said, here's how you do it. And he went through step one, step two, step three. And I went, oh my, no wonder I didn't do it well. I didn't know how to do step two at all. I didn't even include it. And I had learned something new. And by the way, I learn things new almost every day. Because someone takes the time to instruct me. And I'm sure there's people that learn things from me almost every day. Today, somebody called and said, I need some help. I don't know how to do something. So I went over to their office and I sat down with them with their computer. And I showed them how to run a program that they didn't know how to run. And create some spreadsheets that they had no idea how to create in the past. And I sat down and I said, okay, you do this and this and this. And then I did it. And I said, now I stepped away. And I said, now you sit down and I'm going to talk you through it and you do it. And the more they did it, the more they got used to it. And by the time I left their office, after about an hour, they were able to do it all by themselves from the very beginning to the end of the program that they were trying to use. And they had learned many things. And so I had learned some things recently, and now I was able to teach somebody else some things. I remember when there were no computers. And everything was done by hand. I remember using the slide rule. But somebody had to instruct me in the slide rule, because when my dad was, when I was little, my dad had a slide rule, and I'd take that slide rule out, and I'd slide the middle of it out. If you don't know what a slide rule is, I'm sorry, I don't know how to explain it to you. It's a ruler that has a middle ruler that slides up and down. You know what a slide rule is? And it's got a little glass on it, and you can do all sorts of mathematical equations on a slide rule. And we had to use it in geometry class. And so there weren't any calculators. You weren't allowed to. There were no handheld calculators back then. They had these big old metal adding machines. That's what I grew up with. And then and I used a slide rule. And my dad had a slide rule. He was an engineer. And he'd bring it home. And he'd be working on things. And I'd always wonder what he was doing with that thing. And my favorite thing was to pick it up, slide the middle out, and use it like a sword. But then one day somebody instructed me in it. And then I learned how to use a slide rule. And it was like a little calculator for me. And it is for a lot of people. That's what a slide rule is all about. How to do these mathematical equations on a ruler that has a slide in the middle with a little window on it that has a line in it so that when you get the numbers all lined up, you get the proper answer. You get the proper answer. It's a wonderful thing, but we don't need them today. We have computers. But somebody with a slide rule figured out how to make the computer run. See? So it's always interesting to learn things. So the Bible says, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. So the more I like to get instructed, the more I get knowledge. And that's awareness gained through experience. And that's the things that I need more than anything. So I need that knowledge. Why? But he that hateth reproof. Now what's reproof? Another word for reproof is instruction, isn't it? Because we said instruction means to be reproved. So if you hate reproof or instruction, he's brutish. That's an interesting word, the word brutish. Let me give you what the word brutish really means. The word brutish comes from the Hebrew word pronounced bear. It means foolishness. He who hateth he that hateth reproof is brutish or foolish. If you're a disciple, the Bible teaches us that we need to learn. So we need to discipline ourselves. The word disciple comes from the word discipline. It means to discipline yourself. To make yourself do what you're supposed to do even though you don't want to do it. There were many days growing up that I did not want to go to school, but I went to school. Sometimes I'd wake up in the morning and say, Mama, I don't feel good. I think I got a fever. And she'd feel my head and say, no, you feel fine. Go to school. Didn't want to go to school. Now that I've been out of school for many, many years. Way too many years. And now I've gone through college and I got a couple of degrees and I'm about 55 degrees outside now. And I got my degrees and I got all sorts of papers and things and I learned some things, but that didn't end it. I needed some more. I needed not to be a fool. And I learned this to keep going when I went to school. Then I became an adult and then I started going to work. And there'd be times I'd want to wake up and say, I don't feel very good. I don't want to go to work today. The sun's out and it's a beautiful day. Oh, heaven, we had some beautiful days the last couple of days. They've been gorgeous. Oh, it'd be so nice not to have to go to work. But we got to go to work. That's disciplining ourselves. What does that mean? That means that we are trying to be a disciple of Christ. We're disciplining ourselves. So the person who is brutish doesn't have that discipline. He doesn't have discipline. He doesn't make himself do right. We have to learn to do right whether we feel like doing right or don't feel like doing it right. We have to discipline ourselves. Accept it even if we don't like it because it needs to be done. Can I tell you why many marriages in America fail today? Because we don't discipline ourselves to stay married. We figure out an excuse for a divorce, so we get divorced. It's always easy to quit. It's not always easy to stick it through and just keep on going regardless. No one knows you better than your spouse. And sometimes those things that your spouse learns about you and you don't even know about you. But God teaches us that we need to keep going and keep going and keep going. Listen, a lot of people quit being Christians because it gets hard sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to get up and go to church on Sunday morning. Sometimes it's hard to get out and go to church on Wednesday nights and go out and knock doors and tell people about Jesus. Get up and read your Bible every day. Get down and pray. Memorize in Scripture. We got a lot of things. We're busy people. We got a lot of other things that can get in the way. But God says we need to discipline ourselves. That's what this is talking about here now in verse number 1. Whoso loveth instruction. What is he loving? He's loving being able to be reproved. He's disciplining himself to accept what's going on. A child has to discipline themselves to accept what the teacher says so that they can learn. Sometimes a student in class will say, well, I don't agree with that and I'm not going to follow it. But you're not going to pass the test either. Because you've got to learn what the teacher's teaching you. You've got to learn that the teacher knows what they're doing for your class. Maybe when you get older and you disagree with something, a philosophy or something, that's fine. But if you want to pass the class, you have to discipline yourself to accept sometimes things you don't like to accept. And so as we go through life, we learn that in school. But those that quit school because they don't like reproof, they don't like to be taught, they don't like instruction, they're brutish. They're unlearned. They're ignorant. They're foolish. That's what the Bible's saying. So we should learn to demand ourselves of ourselves discipline. When we demand that for us, it stops anarchy in ourselves. And by the way, it stops anarchy in our world. So we need to learn that. Look down now in verse number 4. Remember I told you I'm not going to do every verse in these chapters now as we go on. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in the bone. Virtuous comes from the root word which means mama, which means woman. It comes from the Hebrew word mamam. Which would be like woman. A woman whose life is led for her husband. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. A hard working, loyal, faithful, continually sticks at it and sticks at it. You know where she gets that from? Verse 1. She's got discipline. She's taken instruction. She loves knowledge. If she's brutish, she's going to cause trouble. Look at what it says here. But she that maketh ashamed is rottenness in his bones. So what we do as spouses really affects our other spouse. So a woman whose life is lived for her husband and does the right things and is faithful, who works hard, takes care of her children, loves her children, takes care of the work that she needs to do, is a blessing to her husband and to her children. The thoughts of the righteous in verse 5 are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceit. Now that has to do with what we've been learning here too, okay? The thoughts of the righteous are right. The thoughts of the righteous, not just any thought, the righteous thoughts. So here we hear today, a woman ought not take care of her family. A woman should do the same job a man should do. A woman's not a man and a man isn't a woman. And there are some things that a woman has that men don't have. Praise the Lord, women have more compassion than men do. Praise the Lord, women can go through more pain than men can go through, or else there'd never ever be another child born in the history of the world. There are just some wonderful things about women. My wife brings so many wonderful things to my life that I would miss if I didn't have a virtuous wife. Why? Because she tries hard. She does her best. So her thoughts, her righteous thoughts, are helpful to me. She balances me out. Listen, a husband is made and a wife is made to balance each other out. I don't just need a wife as a husband to balance me out. My wife needs a husband to balance her out as well. I add things to her life. She adds things to my life. And I don't just add snoring. I add a whole lot of other things to her life. And she adds a lot of things to my life. We balance each other. We help each other. We strengthen each other. We encourage each other. We work together one with another. Why? Because we keep discipline in our own personal life. Is there ever a time your wife offends you? Yes. Is there ever a time I offend my wife? Yes. But you know what we've learned? We've learned that we care for each other and we have to ignore some things and go along with some things. You know, we've learned discipline. We've learned to discipline ourselves. Not each other. Ourselves. My job isn't for me to discipline my wife. My job is to discipline me so I'll treat my wife correctly. My wife's job is to discipline herself so she takes care of her husband correctly. Not a child's job to discipline a parent. It's a parent's job to discipline a child so that the child has a balanced life growing up. Because you don't always get nothing but discipline out of your mom and dad. You get love. You get compassion. You get a listening ear. You get provided for. Man, I wish I could go back to being a kid again. I didn't have to worry about the electric bill. I didn't have to worry about the gas bill. I didn't have to worry about any insurance. I didn't have to worry about a car. I didn't have a car payment or whether it was broken or whether it was repaired. I didn't have to worry about how this was being done. I didn't have to worry about whether we were going to have another meal on the table next week or not have it. I didn't have to worry about any financial issues. I didn't have to worry about anything. I went outside and played. I went to school every day. It never even dawned on me that those things were going on in my parents' life. They provided for me. They cared for me in every aspect of my life. That's what parents do. They provide. In that provision, they also discipline, correct, instruct, which means to reprove, that we can grow up and understand things and make a life for the next generation to come. So it's important then. So verse 5, let's continue to read from verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked is deceit. Again, we have to be careful. Wicked people are people who just, it's a sin that goes on further to hurt someone, okay? And so sometimes somebody will say, well, you just need to leave them. No, your job isn't to leave them. No, it doesn't matter what the world does. We're supposed to be different. Anyway, verse 6. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceitful. The wounds of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. But the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. We're talking about vengeance here. We're talking about taking that from somebody else that doesn't belong to us, which would also be to lust after something, to hurt someone purposely. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be condemned according to according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that despiseth and hateth a servant is better. Despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Again, that void of understanding, a vain person is a foolish person, has no knowledge, has no understanding, has no comprehension, alright? The wicked shall desire the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of his trouble. So here in these verses 5 through 13, speaks of wickedness versus righteousness, wickedness versus righteousness, wickedness versus righteousness. So we see a lot of different ways in which wickedness and righteousness are at odds with each other. So much of this we've covered in other portions of the book of Proverbs. It's just rebuilding what has already been there, relearning what we've already learned. And that's how you learn, by the way. You learn by repetition. And God knows that about us. So He repeats things to us over and over again, just like we learned how to say the ABCs. A, B, C, D. And we learned A, B, A, B, A, B, C, D, A, B, C. We kept repeating it. And it's not L-M-N-O-P. It's L-M-N-O-P. I remember having to learn that because I made up my own little middle part there. And we had to learn how to say it right. And we just repeated it and repeated it and repeated it. And that's how we learned. How'd you learn that the word go is go? You ever learned it over and over again. So God reinforces what He's told us in other places. This is a man that looks at the world wickedly or looks to harm others. It takes a sin to the place to where it causes hurt and pain to others. That's a wicked person. And there's a difference between righteousness and wickedness. It doesn't have anything to do with salvation. It doesn't have anything to do with being saved or unsaved. But they both go down two very different roads. And they end up in two very different places. So you're known by the company you keep, somebody told me one time. You ever hear that? You're known by the company you keep. And so we're known here then. The Bible's telling us that we are what we hang around with. We hang around with foolish people, we'll end up to be foolish. I lost my place here just for a second. But here we see two totally different directions, and that we are affected by that direction that we go in, and those people that we hang around. So we need to make sure our thoughts and our actions are correct. We need to make sure that we're not doing anything out of a wicked heart or of a wicked mind or wicked desires. We need to make sure that we're following things in the right way. Amen? Look in verse 11, and that's what I was looking for, and that's where I got lost at. Verse 11 says, "He that tilleth the land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding." That means one guy hanging around with another guy doesn't have any better wisdom than the other guy has. Two wicked people hanging around with each other, they're going to end up to cause trouble. It's just a fact of life. It happens over and over again. That's just the way man is. So these verses are warning us in the book of Proverbs. And like I said, we could spend forever in the book of Proverbs. But we find out these verses from verse 5 to verse 13 are speaking about the same things over and over again. And we need to make sure that we as God's people, we walk in the ways that God has established for us to walk in. Father, we do thank You for what we've learned today. Help us to apply Your Word to our life. Help us to